Brazil's president wades into the red-hot political debate over free speech and social media. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. YouTube became the latest social media platform to limit President Trump's ability to speak directly to his supporters. Late last night, the video platform removed new content on the president's channel, saying it violated policies on inciting violence. With mounting corporate pushback against Mr. Trump, Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, who has been an ally of the U.S. president, has called on his supporters to switch to the social media app Telegram. The BBC's Joe Tidy explains why some are attracted to that platform.
There's a big tech clash going on around the world against the likes of Facebook and Google and Amazon. And people like the fact that Telegram is effectively an independent messaging service. This morning they posted saying they've surpassed 500 million users around the world. In the last 72 hours, they've put on 25 million users. Although the encryption isn't as standard as strong as WhatsApp. WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted, which means that there's a special key on my phone and your phone, so whatever message I send to you, even if someone picks it up on the way, only your phone can read it. Telegram does do that, but not by default. But Telegram is encrypted between the messages I send to you. The Telegram servers themselves have that key, so it's not quite as secure as WhatsApp by standard. But the thing people like about it is it takes far less data.
So why might Jair Bolsonaro be pushing his supporters and others to Telegram?
Well, on the face of it, it's a strange idea, because if he starts a massive Telegram group, that'll work in the same way as a Facebook group. And if he starts, say, a broadcast channel, then it's the same as a YouTube channel. But the difference is, I think, about moderation. Jair Bolsonaro, like other people on the right of politics, they are unhappy with how Silicon Valley is moderating and censoring, in their words, some of the posts from the likes of Donald Trump. I think this move shows that he is trying to get his followers to allow him to talk in a place where his words won't be moderated and they won't be fact-checked and they won't be labeled.
The BBC's Joe Tidy for us. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, global shares are little changed this morning. Meanwhile, Tesla shares are poised to continue moving higher in the U.S. They're up about 0.5% ahead of the opening bell. The electric car maker has registered a company in India, putting it one step closer to a launch there later this year. To China now, where a U.S. research group has discovered a Huawei patent that describes a system that can identify members of the Uyghur ethnic community from other pedestrians. The Chinese government has been accused of detaining Uyghur Muslims for years, using high-tech surveillance and forcing them into labor camps. Beijing says the camps are used for voluntary education and training. The BBC's Leo Kellyan has more on that story.
Huawei has previously claimed none of its technologies are designed to identify ethnic groups. But this patent suggests it is at least something it has considered. The patent application refers to a system designed to analyse pedestrians' movements, which it says could be targeted at people according to whether they are a Uyghur, among other attributes. Huawei says it opposes the use of technology to carry out ethnic discrimination and now plans to amend the filing. Similar references have been found in several other patents from Chinese tech companies. They also deny selling products that pick up people by ethnicity. But Human Rights Watch says the firms must cease all sale of surveillance kit to the Chinese police.
That's the BBC's Leo Kellyan reporting there. Here in the UK, major supermarkets are warning urgent government intervention is needed to prevent further disruption to Northern Ireland food supplies. Shortages have been reported as retailers grapple with post-Brexit arrangements for food imports from other parts of the UK, including England, Scotland, and Wales. From Belfast, the BBC's John Campbell explains the nation's geography has reduced choices not just for human consumers, but pets as well.
Northern Ireland is still in the EU's single market for goods in order to keep an open border with the Republic of Ireland. But the flip side of that is what's effectively a new trade border with the rest of the UK. Consumers in Northern Ireland are already noticing changes to their daily lives, particularly when it comes to online shopping. Most of the goods ordered over the internet come from warehouses in England, but because of the new sea border, that's causing problems.
Luna.
Lola is my sister's cat, but what she eats is going to have to change.
We were ordering from an online pet company every 4 weeks. We had a subscription service set up for a high quality cat food that is sort of very specific to her. And then around the middle of December, we had received an email from the company saying that our subscription would be cancelled because they could no longer ship to Northern Ireland.
This is the moment. A new start. Now the UK has left the EU.
The UK government has spent millions of dollars on ads like this, urging businesses that buy and sell goods with Europe to prepare for additional paperwork and checks at the border. But while consumers might see reduced choice and competition, there are potentially wider opportunities. Remember, Northern Ireland is still in the EU's single market for goods in order to keep that open border with the Republic of Ireland. But it also means that Northern Ireland businesses keep their privileged access to the wider EU market. Kevin Holland runs InvestNI, Northern Ireland's economic development agency.
The way that the trade and cooperation agreement has been set up does mean that you can run your companies here in Northern Ireland and have open access to two of the biggest global markets, into the European Union and into the mainland United Kingdom, from one single location.
There are undoubtedly real challenges as a result of the new sea border, but there are also opportunities to be grasped. In Belfast, I'm the BBC's John Campbell for Marketplace.
Finally, 12 bottles of Bordeaux wine will splash land off the coast of Florida tonight from the International Space Station. A Luxembourg startup sent the booze into orbit to age for a year. No spacewalkers, though, popped any corks. The bottles will return to Earth unopened. And at the end of February, wine experts in France will sample the wine, which will then undergo testing to see how space changed its chemical makeup. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.